There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Kevin McAleese is there. Kevin, thanks for joining us on the program. I guess there's a lot of reaction in America. Great news for where you are in terms of the 2026 World Cup bid.
Yes, certainly a major achievement for a country that sadly will not be taking part in the World Cup tournament in Moscow that, of course, kicks off tomorrow. Bitter disappointment the United States failed to qualify there. But, you know, joy and jubilation, no doubt, over the fact that they have secured the 2026 hosting rights to the World Cup, along with their neighbours, Canada and Mexico. And among the first to congratulate them on that achievement, of course, was President Trump. Freshly touched down from his trip to Singapore for that key summit, said, you know, congratulations. It's a great win for the US. Everyone's looking forward to the competition, but it's obviously some way away.
And Kevin, how do we think the logistics for this will work? Because making an itinerary is going to be some mission to get going on this.
Yeah, it's tricky, isn't it? I think that we're going to see a lot more come out over the next few weeks. This winning bid apparently is going to generate something in the region of $11 billion profit for FIFA. That's the most important aspect for them. But in terms of the logistics, part of why the United States managed to seal this bid along with its neighbours was because the infrastructure really is already in place. That they've got 23 stadiums that they put forward as part of the bid. All of those are established, functioning stadiums. So, you know, and obviously the transport infrastructure, despite you having to cover some predictions of up to sort of, you know, 3,000 miles between venues for the 2026, compare that to the longest distance in Russia of 1,900 miles, the transport infrastructure is solid and functioning up to the standards that FIFA would expect. But this is also going to be an expanded World Cup. It's going to be some 80 matches in total. At the moment, we think 60 of those are going to take place in the US, the rest split between Canada and Mexico, with everything from the quarterfinals right up to the final being staged just in the United States.
And Kevin, you mentioned there President Trump sent out congratulations. Of course, it's great news for America, but you kind of wonder how the dynamic might work in terms of his relationships at the moment after the G7 summit. There was, it wasn't ideal between him and Canada. You also think he's mentioned about building a wall. This seems to be a joining of hands.
Yeah, I think at the moment this is a joining of hands, but that's probably because this is a view down the line to the future, and it's an opportunity perhaps to look beyond the what is an imploding relationship in the president, not just obviously that G7 falling out between President Trump and Prime Minister Trudeau of Canada, but this ongoing row over the future of trade agreements between the United States and its neighbors. Of course, NAFTA, Donald Trump, that North American Free Trade Agreement, Donald Trump is trying to renegotiate against the wishes of both Canada and Mexico. So plenty more political fallout intention to follow, but in this moment, this is an opportunity to just focus on a global sport and the fact that these three nations have won the right to host it.
And do we have any idea what cities are likely to be in the running to host each of the matches?
Several cities obviously put forward bids. Where I am in Washington, D.C., the stadium there was on the list. I think Baltimore, just down the road, also put forward their bid to be one of the host cities. And, of course, the final, we understand, is already been decided. The venue will be the New Jersey MetLife Stadium. That has an 80,000-plus capacity. It's already the home to two NFL sides in the New York Giants and the New York Jets. So, yeah, we're getting an idea, but I think the final decision on exactly which stadiums will receive the honour of hosting the 2026 teams is still to be decided over the coming weeks.
And we've obviously seen this year Russia will be hosting, and it does make you think, could this be the end of a single country hosting a World Cup now? Because the financial implications are so large, the reason the US-Mexico-Canada bid was successful over Morocco was that guarantee that they could bring in so much revenue, like you mentioned.
And that's key for FIFA. You know, it's very important for the organisation, the World Football Governing Body, to keep making money, to keep succeeding, to keep putting on these extraordinary displays every 4 years, and certainly this United winning bid promised to do that. I think the other thing you've got is an issue of transparency, of course. Russia's winning bid and Qatar's winning bid for 2022, they were all sort of secretive votes. That has gone away after the FIFA was pretty much brought to its knees in 2015-2016 following that corruption investigation triggered by the United, or spearheaded by the United States. So I think you're seeing a big, almost ideological change within the organisation, not just about, you know, putting bums on seats and getting viewing figures, but trying to present itself as a much cleaner, better run, more transparent governing body now.
And Kevin, it's also an interesting one. Have any of these nations produced any big football or soccer stars, as it will be called at the time?
These nations, well, Mexico aren't a bad side, are they? Yeah, they've also hosted twice before in the past. Canada, not quite sure about their record at soccer tournaments. But the United States had done some decent things over the last few years, so it was a real disappointment, a real blow for this country, which has for some time been trying to whip up enthusiasm for soccer as a sport in North America. To not qualify for Moscow was seen as a real tragedy for the people who believe that the United States, along with, I think, Pele, that one day would be, you know, vying for some honours, some top trophies in global continents, but they won't be doing it for some time. But the benefit for Mexico, Canada and the United States is that as a host nation, shared host nations, that they should automatically qualify, so they won't have to go through the grueling disappointment of qualification as we saw this time round.
And Kevin, it's almost 25 years since the US hosted. I mean, there has definitely been a sense of change when it comes to soccer, as they would call it, or football, as we call it here. You know, you think back now, big stars are going over to America to sign big contracts to play there.
Yeah, there's plenty of money in MLS here, Major League Soccer, and some big names have come over. One that's been passed around in some areas of the press, of course, Wayne Rooney, currently at Everton, but could be taking the plane over the Atlantic to come and play his football at DC United, which would be a huge coup, because DC, of course, is about to open its new stadium, so they wanted some sort of, you know, headline grab.
I think we might have lost Kevin. Kevin, can you hear us?
Hello, oh, can you hear me?
We've got you back, Kevin. Yes, we can hear you now.
Yeah, I was just saying that, of course, Wayne Rooney is just one of those superstars that you referred to, who could be on his way to DC United if some of the rumours and reports are true. And he follows a number of sort of high-profile figures from the world of soccer to come over. And at the moment, more a case of sort of finishing up their careers over here with massive paydays, but that could soon change. But what's important, certainly for the United States, is developing their homegrown talent if they're going to stand a chance in major soccer tournaments.
Kevin McAleese in Washington, D.C. Thank you very much for joining us on the programme.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcast at DubaiEye1038.com.